Yeah, Billy has lesson two, Ralph lesson three, Jody lesson four. I don't see Travis.
Trevor.
Yeah, but he's supposed to have lesson five. This for my own benefit, I got the adult book. And last year and this year. I was impressed. This is put out by the 21st Century Christian. So we have two main PDF series in our brotherhood, Lambert, and then Promise, which is 21st Century Christian. I can still remember when we had Lambert and Sweet. And my reaction to it was Lambert might be more true to the word. Sweet would be more progressive methods and etc. But I wasn't impressed with this. So we'll have lesson one, Harbor of Peace. Lesson two, Lighthouse of Hope. Lesson three, the Compass of Guidance. Lesson four, the Lifeboat of Safety. And then lesson five, the Anchor of Salvation. The main text is Revelation chapter 22, verse 13. Who'd like to read that for us? Ralph?
I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last.
In my Bible, those words are in red, which would mean that Jesus said it. Let me paraphrase it. I am the A and the Z. Now, in the Greek alphabet, it was Alpha and Omega. But we would probably say, hey, I'm the A and the Z. All of the alphabet, from A to Z. The beginning and the end. The first and the last. That's a dynamic picture of Jesus. Let's turn to Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. That is the last verse of the chapter. Who'd like to read that? Okay, Bill.
And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
The thought is we're children of the promise, aren't we? Promise God made to Abraham in the long ago. Now, I came up with two verses. God of peace, Prince of peace, Gospel of peace. So, let's look at those. In Romans chapter 15, verse 33. Now, they're the last verse of Romans chapter 15, verse 33. Now, the God of peace be with you. Amen. So our Father is one of peace. Then 2 Corinthians chapter 13, which will be the last chapter, verse 11, near the close. Here's Paul writing to the church in Corinth. Who would like to read verses 6 and 7. This will be one of the messianic prophecies. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. And remember, all of these verses will have in common peace. Who'd like to read? Tom, would you like to read chapter 9, verses 6 and 7?
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, ever, forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
We sometimes remember Isaiah is the messianic prophet. He had a message for God's people of his day. He had a message for some of their neighbors. And then he had a message about the coming Messiah, Christ, or anointed of God. For our emphasis this morning, in verse 6, the Messiah is pictured as a Prince of Peace. And I was also impressed in verse 7, his government and peace. Now for our New Testament, and again, these are just the verses I thought of when I claimed they're exhausted. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. And the thought is, in Jesus, the Jews and Gentiles to be brought together. And my thought is, if Christ could bring the Jews and Gentiles together, whatever destination you want to give today, he can bring them together. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, for he himself is our what?
Peace.
Peace. Who has made both
one.
Now, again, he can make the Jews and the Gentiles one. He can make whatever destination you want to give today, he can make us one. And has broken down the middle wall of separation. So, Father, the God of peace. The Messiah is a Prince of Peace. And then, really, the gospel is one of peace. So, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. This will be the picture of the Christian soul. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. We have beautiful feet, don't we? And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of what?
Peace.
We have good news about peace. Let's turn now to Colossians chapter 3, verses 15, 16, and 17. And I'm going to assume that we're very familiar with chapter 3, verse 16, the music of the church. But let's, at verse 15, and let the what of God rule?
Peace.
Okay. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you were called in how many bodies? one body, what should we be? Thankful. Now, I like Thanksgiving Day. My thought is every day needs to be a Thanksgiving Day. So, in verse 15, you have the peace of God. You have the one body, one church. We need to be thankful, grateful, appreciative. So, but then in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you
richly,
in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So in verse 16, there's the word of Christ. And one application of the word of Christ would be, we have something to sing about. So, 15, peace of God. 16, the word of Christ. 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in whose name? In the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. So there's the name, the power, the authority of the Lord Jesus. So, to me, that's very interesting. 15, peace of God. 16, the word of Christ. 17, the name of Christ. So, I'm hoping, and I like Brian's comment, I am. There's one group in town that is putting emphasis on those I am statements. It would be us, wouldn't it? We need to restore those I ams. And so, that came to mind. You know, a harbor of peace. God of peace. Prince of peace. Good news of peace. You can be at peace with God. You can be at peace with others. You can be even at peace with yourself. Christianity is a religion of peace. Now, let's turn to John 6. Our first lesson will be based on, in John 6 we have the feeding of how many?
5,000.
And in our first lesson, the I am, now remember, this is the Prince of Peace saying this. I am what? Bread of life. If he's the bread of life, he could feed 5,000 men, couldn't he? Plus women and children. So, now, I'm for a cappella singing. Why do we sing? Because Jesus is the bread of life. What does Jesus want? So, let me point out, and this is going to be a challenge today within 30 minutes. I asked Brian, you know, how much time we had, and he said 30 minutes. That's rather challenging. But look in John chapter 6. Verse 34. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Now again, said or what they had done. So they said, well, Lord, we would like this bread. And so Jesus claimed or affirmed, I am the bread of life. Now, I'm going to assume you're all of us are familiar with John 6. But look at verse 41. The Jews then did what?
Complained.
The Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. People still, today, we believe he's the bread of life. But some complain about him. Verse 48. Again, I am the bread of life. Verse 51. I am the, what kind of bread?
Living
bread, which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Now, tomorrow, still in the bulletin, I will have the bread. Now, I'm for the weekly observance of the Lord's Supper. But that loaf reminds us, I am the bread of life. Shouldn't it? So, I will not take time to read, but tomorrow I will read from John 6. Verses 51 through 59. And you remember a lot of the disciples, they quit following Jesus. They said, oh, that's a hard statement. It's a difficult statement. Now, feeding of how many? 5,000. Our main text or Bible event is John 6, 1 through 15. And I have the New King James. I've often wondered. I like Randall's verses. He knew the King James. I grew up on the King James. Then I went to Lipscomb, and it was an American Standard. And in our VBS material, it's the New King James. So, which should I memorize? King James? American Standard? Or New King James? Let me read. Picture, this was an electrifying scene. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs or miracles, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing just a few people, a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? Remember, the great multitude. But this he said, verse 6, to test him, that is Philip, for he himself knew what he would do. Jesus knew what he could feed the several months' work. That every one of them may have what? A little. Christ, they're going to have much, though, aren't they? There's even going to be left over. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has his lunch. I mean, barley loaves. Five. How many fish?
Two.
Two. That'd be a little, wouldn't it? But Jesus could take five barley loaves and two fish. But Andrew's reaction was, "But what are they among so again many?" Remember, it's a great multitude. Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about how many?
5,000.
And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they did they go away hungry? As much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to the disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is what?
Lost.
Therefore they gathered them up and filled
12 baskets.
And filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." When they saw the sign of 5,000 men plus women and children, have been well fed, no wonder many would read, "I wonder if this is the prophet that Moses had talked about." Verse 15, "Therefore when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by what to make him king? Force. To make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone." Any man that could feed 5,000 men plus women and children wouldn't have to worry about feeding the army, would you? And so many of them were hoping, "Oh, there would be a king that would drive the Romans out and restore the kingdom, like in the time of David and later Solomon." and sunlight necessary for the grain to grow. And this is what really caught my attention. On the fifth day, he made the birds that could eat the bugs that could kill the grain. And on the sixth day, he made man who would plant the seed to grow the bread. That's right, isn't it? It's in Genesis 1. I am the bread of life. And let me close with these words from John 6. Now, this is chapter 8, that's in the beginning. Let's begin at verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of God."